VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today, folks. You're going to be hearing about a topic I'm sure you're not really hearing about through mainstream media across this nation. But powerful forces are stepping up their drive for something known as a CO2 pipeline. Now, keep in mind the hatred and cancellation of pipelines to deliver much-needed gas or oil across our land. But this is a CO2 pipeline to capture carbon emissions and to drive it into the ground. Well, according to our guest today, this is going to be destroying farmland and not the way we need to be going as a nation. With us, we welcome back Tom DeWeese, the president of American Policy Center. Tom is one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back-to-basics education, and America's sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's the author of Sustainable, that's the War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals, and also the political novel entitled Erase. Tom, thank you for joining us here today on the program. And I just wonder, is this for real, a CO2 pipeline?
Absolutely is. And there are about 10 states in the Midwest where our most valuable farmland is located that are affected by this. And, you know, what they tell us, is, as you mentioned, they're capturing the carbon dioxide, particularly at ethanol and fertilizer plants, liquefying it into a gas, and piping it into, actually it's going headed towards North Dakota is where it's going to be buried there in the pipe underground, and thousands of feet underground.
So what is the purpose? What are they seeking to accomplish?
Well, there are lots of different messages that are going out about why this is, but primarily, you know, we have this drive globally on what they call net zero, to get rid of CO2 as the main force in creating climate change. And so getting the, you know, what's coming out of these plants and so forth, going to bury that in the ground so we cut back on our CO2 emissions.
Well, as a matter of fact, the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, just made that grand announcement this past week. He just put forth his brand new zero emission plan here by the year, I think it's 2050 or something like that. And I believe we're only like 4% of the way there or something. But, I mean, he's talking about totally turning this state upside down. And that's what those are accomplishing, who are trying to get us to a zero emission.
Yeah, and how do you explain this to these people? CO2 is vital for plants. It's also vital for people. And we need that to grow more plants and so forth. And what we're seeing here, the farmers, particularly in Iowa, I've been working with some activists there, are very up in arms about this. This thing is going to cut across some of their most valuable farmland, not going along the edges of their property just to move forward, right straight through the middle. They're tearing up the topsoil for it, which they won't be allowed to grow anything there or even have the ability to grow anything there once this thing is put in place. This is the main area we grow our food in for this whole country, and we're already suffering with food shortages and the threats of these things happening, and here they are doing this for what? And, you know, what really gets me about this is they say this is for environmental protection, but they want to stop CO2, and then you have people like Bill Gates who wants to paint the sky so the sun can't get through, but this is all for environmental protection.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
There was a story in Gas World that indicates that plans for this industrial-scale carbon capture pipeline system could transport and sequester up to 8 million metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. They indicate that Valero Energy Corporation and BlackRock Global Energy and Power Infrastructure Fund II have teamed up with Navigator Energy Services for a project that will initially, and again I underscore initially, span more than 1,200 miles across 5 Midwestern states in the U.S. And as I heard that, Tom, I said, boy, this is really the heart of farmland here and for our nation.
It is. And the farmers there, as we mentioned, are really really upset. What are they going to do? They're having enough trouble with all the other sustainable programs that are being enforced on them. You've got the 30 by 30 plan to lock away 30% of all of our land away from human activity. And, you know, we've got the cattle industry, the chicken industry, the hog industry, the, you know, on and on and on. They're all being targeted. And what are these people counting on that we're going to eat as they do this?
Yeah, because farmland, and even where this, when you, you know, work away and the topsoil's impacted there, I mean, even the crop yields for years after the construction is going to be devastated by this as well.
Absolutely. It's going to take years. And what they're doing, one of the programs on this called the Heartland Greenway has already started sending out letters to farmers who are in the path of this. And the letter is asking them to voluntarily provide their land and be part of this, to give it up. But it says in the letter, but if you don't do that, well, we're going to take it by eminent domain anyway.
Oh, my.
You know? And so, you know, this is the threat that's going out.
And Tom, you have long warned about private property being under threat and under attack. This is just another case in point.
Absolutely, and particularly in the rural areas. You know, they're trying to move everybody into the cities. And I don't know if you've ever seen some of these plans they have. There's been some photos from places like Paris and things like that in high rises where people have their own little greenhouse, little garden on their deck,
yeah,
on their high rise. This is what they think they're going to feed.
Well,
us.
Yeah, I've been watching, Tom, what's happening in these high rises in Shanghai, China right now, where they have these COVID lockdowns taking place, mm-hmm, and people they don't have the food. They're going out on their balconies, and you hear the wails and the screams, we need food. And some are, I saw one in which they even put their refrigerator, wheeled it out there to their balcony with the doors open, showing, this is bare, it's empty, we need food.
And, you know, step by step by step,
yeah,
but here we are. And you've got our own agriculture department behind these things and moving. And then the next thing that goes with this, after they have stopped us using that land for growing our food, now the other part of the net zero thing is the solar panel farms and the wind farms.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking here 17 million acres of solar farms and 250 million acres of wind farms, putting all of this in these same areas. Now, you do that, and, you know, Jim, back when I first started attacking on some of these environmental issues long, long time ago, and I would do an interview like this, there would always be inevitably the call from the environmentalists saying, you're just part of the AstroTurf crowd, and you want to pave the earth. You know, that's what they would say to me. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That underneath those solar farms and all those solar panels is cement and infrastructure. And the same thing in the wind farms. If they put in these forests of these wind farms, nothing will be flying. So how is – and all this is supposed to protect the environment.
Yeah. Tom, who is Jess Vilsack, and how does he factor into this?
He is the son of Biden's Secretary of Agriculture, and he is helping to push all of this pipeline, and using, you know, his connection with the Biden administration gives him quite a bit of force behind him.
And then I understand also that North Dakota's biggest oil driller, Continental Resources, they have entered into this game here. What do we know about them?
Well, they put $250 million in to build this pipeline, and you have to ask why. The real purpose of all of this is to end the use of oil and so forth. And my speculation on it, I don't know, you know, for certain, I haven't talked to them, but my speculation is that they are preparing for a life after oil. And so they get involved in this somehow, and hoping they will come out okay on the other end.
So this pipeline here through the Midwest supposedly is to be transported all to the state of North Dakota, where they're going to permanently store this underground? I mean, really?
Yeah, but North Dakota, and I've also heard Illinois will also be there. It's two different pipelines that they are working on, so yeah.
Well, I find this interesting because of what has happened recently in Iceland. And I mean, North Dakota is not known for being a warm climate state, but the Gateway Pundit just had a story this week that the world's largest carbon removal facility designed to fight global warming suffered a major setback after an Arctic blast froze the machinery. Tom, this is Iceland, just east of Reykjavik, and this was called, it was said to be a milestone in the fight against climate change, but now it's frozen up.
If you take a look at the environmental movement, the experts on environment that we are suffering under here, they know nothing about running a business because they've never run one. And they obviously know nothing about the environment. I've joked for years if they'd come out of their high rises in New York and actually touch the ground, they might know something about the environment. But they put these things together that destroy the environment. We've talked about the wind and solar farms. That is nothing but destruction of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a political agenda. It has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with reality.
Tom DeWeese with us today from American Policy Center. And, Tom, there's another factor in this as well. And we do know CO2, it's colorless, it's odorless. And this has got a lot of people concerned as well because, I mean, let's go back to 2020 in Mississippi. There was a CO2 pipeline that ruptured. They have this plume of CO2 that settled over a town. And guess what? The people started feeling dizzy, nauseous, disoriented. Salon.com reported that that many passed out. 49 had to go to the hospital. And we're still waiting for an incident report detailing the cause of that rupture there. But the health concerns, and I also read a report that this captured carbon has to be liquefied at three times the pressure of methane gas, and in the event of a rupture, that exposure to the concentrations of the CO2 greater than 10% can cause convulsions, coma, even death.
Yeah, there again, pulling it all together, completely against any kind of scientific evidence. I also get reports all the time of people who are forced to live under the wind towers, and that causes some sickness and some different problems that way. The solar panels are zapping things out of the air. It's just on and on and on. It has nothing to do with protecting the environment.
Well, there are those who are fighting back on this. I saw the Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the Argus Leader was reporting that roughly just a number of farmers and ag businesses are trying to fight this pipeline, CO2 pipeline. And I understand they were just given an extension until sometime next week to register with the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. We know we have listeners to our stations in South Dakota that will be impacted by this. But there are really many in agriculture that are rising up in opposition.
They are. And as I said earlier, they are absolutely under siege from every different direction. This is just one of the things they're having to face, the control of their water supplies and so forth. The cattle industry is one of the, they have been forced to accept in the cattle industry the Global Sustainable Beef Roundtable. And this is run by the World Wildlife Fund.
Tell you what, Tom, we're going to pick up with this beef aspect after the break. Tom DeWeese is with us here from American Policy Center. We're talking about the CO2 pipeline and putting farmland in jeopardy here across the heartland of America. Friends, it's disturbing to see what's going on in an effort to fight so-called man-made global climate change. Well, folks, no matter what they're going to do, we're still going to have our seasons that take place and devastating weather as well. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how much can scientists tell about an animal from its fossils?
Chris, they can tell quite a bit, but oftentimes they claim too much. Let me give you an example. Recently, a few fragments of teeth were found in Morocco of a mammal no bigger than a small dog, but the evolutionary discoverers claim that it was of a small elephant. Evidently, the molars were more similar to elephant molars than anything else. But they didn't stop there. They claim that this particular elephant didn't even have a trunk, and that he hid in trees and hunted at night. Cut me some slack. How can they tell this from a few tooth fragments? Now, I'm not sure what this animal was, but I'm quite certain you can't look at a tooth and know all that. Evolutionists should stop telling evolutionary stories and get back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. With us today, we have Tom DeWeese, president of American Policy Center. And folks, he'll be giving out his website as well here through the course of this segment. So be ready to jot that down here. We're talking about critical information because we're talking about our farmland. We're talking about feeding America. You know, we're talking about the destruction of this farmland, and we don't seem to bat an eye at it. And there are those who are fighting this in several Midwestern states right now, and South Dakota has quite an uprising against it. But you've got, Tom, you actually have some of the big corporations, you know, that are jumping into this, and that to the dismay of many.
We need to understand that these global corporations are a cabal of their own. They are using all of these things to gain political control and to get wealthy. I mean, all you have to do is look at the COVID lockdown and, you know, what was the difference between how the global corporations were affected versus local businesses? And you had thousands and thousands of local businesses go out of business because of those lockdowns, and the global corporations had some of the best years of their lives. And they, we've talked in the past about public-private partnerships between the government and these corporations. If they play ball, if they push these programs forward, then they get to go to the front of the line for the goodies. They get tax breaks. They get other kinds of benefits as they do that. And they help. You know, sometimes this helps put their competition out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And so all in all, these global corporations are a major force behind this stuff. And if you hear them behind it, you want to start to look at it and say, what's wrong with this program?
And so the CO2 pipelines, I mean, do they actually believe that they're going to get rid of global climate change by putting in this pipeline?
I think what they actually believe is they're going to begin to kill the oil industry. One of the things that you have that supplements the oil industry is ethanol. And this, you know, killing the corn fields out in Iowa and out in that area will help kill ethanol. And I believe that's one of the reasons for this.
Wow. And also just to, and we're going to get to the beef here in just a moment, but is it true that there was money in this highly claimed Biden infrastructure bill that is providing resources for this?
Yes, that is. And in fact, some of the people on, you know, the people behind this, like this Heartland Greenway and so forth, have admitted that you know, people have stood up in public meetings and asked them all these different questions. Why are you doing this? What's the reason for this? Why is it? And they basically hemmed and hawed and stuttered around, and they said, well, there was money in the infrastructure bill. That's what came out in one of the public meetings.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And, Tom, this really delves into larger issues here, too, but they all fit together, hand in glove. And I know you're greatly concerned by our future food supply, whether it be that of beef, poultry, pork, and also just crops themselves. I want you to tie those things together for us, because we're seeing beef skyrocketing right now. We have this bird flu, and they're killing millions of chickens, egg-laying chickens and so forth in different places around this nation as well. This all ties together, doesn't it?
It does. I specifically have been working with the beef industry for the last couple of years, learning what's going on there. And as I mentioned earlier, this global roundtable for sustainable beef. And this is basically under the influence of the World Wildlife Fund. The World Wildlife Fund has said, to save the earth, it is demanded that we change human consumption habits away from beef. And they go on to say, meat consumption is devastating some of the world's most valuable and vulnerable regions due to the vast amount of land needed to produce animal feed. Now, that is a clue right there. What they are saying in that is that, and all that land that we're putting the cattle on to graze, we could begin to grow crops that would feed people. We could feed millions more people than what you're feeding with the cattle industry. And so then you end up with Bill Gates buying up most of the farmland in America, and what's he advocating? We're going to grow fake beef out of grass, out of weeds, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And all fits together step by step. And we have in the beef industry, one of the first things they did to begin to hurt the American beef industry was they removed, the Department of Agriculture did this, they removed the labeling on beef of the country of origin where it came from. And now what people don't understand is that the beef industry is controlled by four different packing companies. The beef industry itself, the people, the cattle growers, don't have a market for their beef. They have to go to these packing companies. And you got Tyson's Food, and you've got one called JBS, which is actually out of Brazil, and a couple of more, and they are all part of this roundtable for sustainable beef, and they've put these rules and regulations on the beef industry of how it needs to be grown. And this makes it much more expensive. They are pushing back the amount of land they have to use. They're controlling their water supplies, things like that. But amazingly, these packing companies are getting their beef now, as they're paying nothing to the American beef industry. They are getting cheaper beef from foreign countries that aren't under these rules. So, you know, it's literally destroying our beef industry, but they're making more money from it.
Well, it's amazing, and it's purposeful, in my opinion, purposeful destruction of our nation, Tom. Whether it be that of private property, whether it be that of capitalism, I mean, it is just a total destruction of our way of life. It doesn't matter who the victims are in all of this.
Absolutely, and if we back up a little bit here and look at the forces behind this, the World Economic Forum, of course, the United Nations has been well behind this, the Agenda 21 issues that we've talked about so many times, the Great Reset, all of that. When they decided that they were going to create global governance, and you had one particular country that was in their way, the United States, which had, you know, our rule of law, the Constitution, says that the purpose of government is to protect people's rights that they're born with, God gave, and you know, keep government under control. That's the exact opposite of what they wanted. They had to do something to get rid of that, and they started using all of these things, basically redistribution of wealth. They called it the global economy, and they ended up with our country with getting all of our goods and services somewhere else, so we are no longer independent. Independent nations are a no-no in this whole thing, and we were the most independent of all, and that is why, you know, all of this step-by-step, you know, the whole global economy is also redistribution of wealth.
Yeah.
And boom, there it is.
It's amazing. I mean, they're calling it synthetic beef. And, Tom, I've seen reports where they say, well, it does not taste good, but you'll get used to it.
Yeah, just shut up and do what we tell you.
And folks, where this is all going is just amazing. I mean, I saw also an ad for the mother's milk to a baby, that they're warning of the PFAS in this milk, indicating that it's not safe. It's up to 2,000 times higher than those concentrated or considered safe in drinking water. And so the solution from the industry is not mama's milk. No, there is now bio milk. It's outrageous. I mean, where this is all going?
Yeah, we are already seeing empty shelves in groceries and all the shortages there. And you know, one of the main forces behind this, one of the main reasons for all this, is if you want to subjugate people, starving them makes them very pliable real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
as you mentioned in China and
yes,
so forth, that's exactly what they're doing. And these people are not above doing it here.
And folks, there's a lot of this big food industry that is scamming you into accepting fake food in what they're putting forth, and synthetic this and synthetic that. And I found it interesting, Tom, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, April 21, 2022, here was a headline: food shortages unlikely in the United States. and talk about just, you know, it's conspiracy theorists who are promoting this. And there are things going on in Ukraine and so forth. But a food short is not likely in this country. But we are doing everything possible, whether it be this CO2 pipeline or this war on beef that's taking place, destroying our farmland, or the restrictions that we're putting, that we are doing just that. We're creating our own problems.
How in the world can we not have a coming food shortage when hundreds and thousands of farmers, beef growers and so forth are going out of business every year? Who's going to grow the food? Where is it going to come from if all of that is under their control? And as I mentioned, the 30 by 30 issue is all this is piled on top of each other. Boom, 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 wherever you turn. And what's left? There'll be no land left to grow your food. Mm-hmm. So how do we not have a shortage?
And at the same time, they're making it difficult by not the fertilizers that are not as available. And we understand, isn't it Russia and Ukraine, the large producers of fertilizers for the world? Ukraine also being the breadbasket for much of Europe, but not being able to get the fertilizers even for growing of crops is going to be a big issue this spring.
I've been hearing from farmers having trouble doing all this. They are scared to death. How are they going to survive? And then you put in all their costs are going up as well. Mm-hmm. Their tractors need diesel, and the cost of that is beyond belief. And on and on like that.
Well, friends, it's all interconnected. And so, Tom, we scratched our head and said, what can I do? What can folks do in regard to these issues? I mean, we got the CO2 pipeline. We see this war on beef that's going on. We see the escalation of the food shortages taking place. I mean, virtually every listener can say, yeah, we've been to the grocery store and there have been times we've gone and said, where is the food supply? What can people do?
Well, first of all, you've got to be able to make the connection so that when they tell you these lies, you know it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, what I have learned over all the years of fighting this, particularly at the local levels and so forth, our people aren't there. And so they aren't having an influence on this. For these private companies that are putting this pipeline together to say that they're going to take the land by eminent domain if they don't voluntarily give it up, they need to have government involved in order to take it. Private companies can't take your land and just by eminent domain. And it was said by some elected official in Iowa to some of the farmers, well, I guess there's just nothing we can do about this. It's just going to happen. If you have a politician that says that, get rid of him. Yes, they can stop it, but we need to be there. We need to be in the city councils, the county commissions, the state legislatures, and make as much noise as possible and make sure these people hear you and be involved. That's what we have to do.
And, Tom, you do have action plans available on your website?
We do. I've been advocating how to fight back on a local level. I call it building your own freedom pod out of your community. And we put together a local activist handbook that has all the details, and it also has a whole lot of the background of these issues that we're talking about that is in there. It's available on our website along with several other things. Our website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. My book, Sustainable, is there. We've got a huge archive of articles that we have done over the years that give you all the background stuff you need on that.
Again, folks, it's AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. We're going to open our phone lines and take your questions, your calls on this issue. Some of you in South Dakota, of course, Iowa, impacting Nebraska as well, Kansas. Pick up your phone. Give us a call, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. There's progress being made on the CO2 pipeline funded for with this infrastructure legislation, but the devastation upon the nation's food supply just around the corner. We'll be right back.
Did you know astronomers Copernicus, Galileo, Kepler, and others made profound statements of faith? Did you know Samuel F.B. Morse, inventor of the telegraph and Morse code, said, "The only gleam of hope, and I cannot underrate it, is from confidence in God." These and many more such quotes and stories can be found in the book, Miraculous Milestones. In this book, Bill Federer examines the faith of those who achieved significant milestones in science, medicine, and innovation. You'll learn how the church pioneered hospitals and medical care for the poor because of the belief in the sanctity of human life. You'll read about Dr. Benjamin Rush, Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Louis Pasteur, and others. Miraculous Milestones is available for a donation of $19 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
The program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way daily here on the VCY American Network. And today with us, Tom DeWeese, president of American Policy Center, and talking about the CO2 pipeline. Yes, folks, it is underway. And yeah, we just look at just a story this week about what's going on in Iceland with the thing freezing up. We're going to the phone lines here today and take your calls. We're covering a number of issues here today, from the from everything from the wind turbines to the CO2 pipeline to the solar panels to the destruction of farmland, the destruction of our beef industry here across our land. So we trust you'll pick up your phone, give us a call. Right now, all the lines are packed, but as soon as you hear somebody complete their conversation with us, that line would be open. We're going to begin in our home city of Milwaukee. Bart, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi. I would just like to ask you guys if you've heard, because I just heard of it today, the rash of food processing plants that have been on fire and have been destroyed.
Tom, are you familiar with that?
No, I'm sorry. I have not heard that.
Yeah, if you guys look it up on the Internet, I was keyed off by a cashier at Walmart this morning. I looked it up, and over 20 food processing plants from Oregon all the way to the East Coast have, and they think they're all by arson. So it's an intriguing story, something to think about or look into.
That's very interesting. Yes, thank you. I will look into that.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, matter of fact, here is one headline, just looking quickly online. Strange trend of food processing plant fires appears across the country. Here is a string of fires destroy food processing facilities across the country. Just hours ago, some of these stories coming out as well. Very interesting. Star is calling from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Star, you're on the air.
Yeah, we have all of our Gen 3 phones that need to be destroyed because everything's gone to Generation 5 phones. So that's just going to fill up our landfills because they don't recycle unless it's in bulk. Okay, so then you have all of your birds that they've said have been killed underneath these wind turbines for years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they seem to not give a care because they want to build more wind turbines. And like you said, plant more cement into the farm fields to hold them all up. And so then it all started with your electric smart meters they wanted to put on your phone, your homes. They can shut them down anytime they want. So you can have rolling blackouts because they want to conserve electricity.
Wow. Tom, and these are all issues that you, thank you for the call. These are all issues you've warned about for years, that from the smart meters to the other issues that she mentioned there as well, the birds being killed by these wind turbines as well.
Yeah, I'm glad she brought up the smart meters because this is something that we really have to understand. The push to get people off the rural areas where people are much more independent and get them into the cities, and they can control. Now, you talk about net zero. They can control your power use and monitor everything else you do, how you live and all that, and the smart meters are a major tool in that. The birds, I'm not sure the name of it, but there's one environmental organization that made it its mission to go underneath all of these wind turbines and pick up all the dead birds so people didn't see them there. But once you've got thousands and thousands of these things everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Including bald eagles.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, endangered species, everything else are, blacked out of the sky. And on top of that, the wind turbines need oil to turn.
Yes.
And so what are they counting on? And I could go on for the next hour talking about the idiocy of moving towards electric cars and what that will do to the environment And just picture if they, like California is already starting to say they're going to ban electric car, ban gas-fueled cars and so forth. Let's say they did that across the country. How many millions of fueled cars, gas-fueled cars, do we have in this country? Now we're not going to be able to drive them. Where are they going to be stored? Mm. Where are they going? What landfill is going to take them?
Yeah.
Just think of that sight.
Tony is calling from Charleston, Illinois. Tony, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. It's no doubt whatsoever that things are going like they are when you can be a boy today, a girl tomorrow, and an it the next day.
Hmm.
It's just, if they'll believe that, they'll believe that the moon's made out of green cheese,
yeah.
Okay? And this baloney of painting the sky to block the sun is about the most unheard of thing I have ever heard of.
Hmm.
The only thing that we need to be doing as brothers and sisters in Christ is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, and as he said in the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate your call. And this is sheer lunacy, Tom. The things he was talking about here is, you know, just lunacy. Somebody painting the sky or somehow we're going to manufacture enough power, you know, by, I mean, we'd have to put up these panels and wind turbines all across this country.
Well, you can't put up enough.
Yeah.
Get enough. Like, if you put up all they're even planning on and completely eliminated, eliminating all of our current power plants and so forth, these wind turbines and solar panel farms would only supply about 4% of the energy we need.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're already in California telling people we've got a gas shortage, an electric shortage, so don't try to recharge your electric cars. They're already telling you that, and yet at the same time, well, this is what we're all going
to
do.
And let's talk to our Texas friends as well, you know, as we saw the ice storm go through and freeze up these turbines.
Yeah, yeah. And what about when you have a snowy day, when you need your power the most,
mm-hmm.
and the solar panels are covered with snow? And the sun's not getting through, you know, on.
Let's go to South Dakota. Ralph, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tom, is the war in Ukraine kind of a part of a plan in this whole thing? You know, and because what bothers me is, you know, Biden always says, well, we're sending more aid to Ukraine, but I never hear that Congress approves any of this.
Yeah, he operates by executive order and just goes around Congress. It gives more power to the dictator. But I think that the whole thing in Ukraine is a distraction. Well, they're putting all this stuff on us, and the news is nothing but Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I just find it a real distraction.
Thank you for the call here, Ralph. Matthew's calling from Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yeah, guys, great show today. Just to touch base, I'm a chef professionally, and this is all very real. From some of the national major purveyors from
Matthew, we're losing you. Turn, talk right into the mouthpiece or the phone.
Yeah, I was saying that this is very real. I'm a chef here in Arizona, and it's very real. From Sysco to US Foods and some of the other major purveyors, for those that don't understand that, mm-hmm. these are where the restaurants order food from, and it's changed dramatically.
Yes.
Of what you can get, what you can't get, you know, the pricing, obviously. But, and just to touch on, maybe this is a question if there's any vitality to it, that I have an engineer friend who said that if they were to do mass production on these battery-powered vehicles, the amount of ore that they would have to process would be astronomical to actually getting what it is. I don't know what goes into these batteries, but It's not what they think it is. You still have to mine to get these batteries. So, and one last thing, always trust in the Lord. He's here for us. And if you read the book, the Bible, it's very clear that we don't win as Christians. We win on another battlefield. So mm-hmm. always keep that in mind, and God bless.
Thank you, Matthew. And Tom, yeah, the very mechanisms that go into these batteries, lithium and so forth, I mean, these are things that have to be mined.
They have to be, and it does a whole lot more destruction to the environment than anything that we do for our other, for coal and other kinds of energy.
And oil, yeah.
And what people don't understand is that over 90% of the lithium is now under the control of Red China.
Wow. Bonnie in Two Harbors, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm wondering if either of you have heard of a website. It's actually a hashtag called Engineered Collapse of America. Again, Engineered Collapse of America. And on that website, they have all of these businesses across the United States, and it's actually around the world, where they are being burned down. And it's all these food processing plants, fertilizer plants, but it's amazing. And just a couple days ago, a place that my husband and I buy our wheat from, it had a big fire in Oregon. But it's amazing. It shows Tyson. It shows Jonesboro. It has, I mean, every state in the United States and, again, all over the world. But these places, I believe, are purposely being started on fire for just what Tom is talking about today.
Right.
What is that second word of that website? Say that again.
It is Engineered Collapse of America.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a look at it.
I know that.
It fits with everything you're talking about.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And, here's another headline, April 14th from Houston Chronicle. Fire contained at California food plant. Evacuation remains. On and on. Yeah, there's a number of these taking place. Zoe in Champaign, Illinois, you're on the air.
Well, I thought I'd add to the fire thing. There was a plane that crashed into a potato processing plant in Idaho also. But I wanted to mention another website that I don't know if Tom has heard of, Ice Age Farmer.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really,
where I learned
he's
about
very
that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, people, but I'm really distressed about the what they're doing. They want to get our meat away from us, and I'm not going to give mine up very easily. But anyway, I had a couple other things, but I lost them, so
Zoe.
I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Jane, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just wondering what you're talking about. How many states have to sign up before the Convention of States goes into effect, and can they do anything about it?
Oh, Tom, you would warn against the Convention of States.
Yes.
Thank you for the call.
Convention of States is one of the greatest disasters that could ever happen. The people behind it are lying through their teeth about they say that the states will control who the delegates are and what will be discussed, and we're just going to have balanced budget amendments and do things to control, how long people are in office and that sort of thing. The truth of the matter is the Constitution, Article 5 of the Constitution, says when enough states, I think it's three-quarters of the states, call for a convention, it is now up to Congress to decide all of those details, how the delegates will be chosen, who they will be, and once those delegates are chosen and go into session, they become the most powerful force in the nation. They have no boss. And they can shut the door, and they can create a new constitution and present it out. And there's lots of reasons. There are something like 25 or 30 actual constitutions already written. There's a green constitution. George Soros is heavily behind this movement, and it is an absolute disaster. And they're selling it like only conservatives will be there.
And Tom, though, we see a number of conservatives lining up for this.
We do, and I'm very troubled by that, and I want to know why. Because people who should know better on this, we have studied it in detail. I have got read Article 5. They keep telling you there's some kind of a trap door in there the Founding Fathers put in case this stuff happened. I've read it 1,000 times, and I haven't found that trap door yet. It just says when enough states call for it, then Nancy Pelosi is the one who will make these decisions and get the delegates together, and then they go behind closed doors. When they did this the first time, we had one constitutional convention in this country, and we were under the control of the Articles of Confederation at the time. Articles of Confederation said we needed 100% of the states to go for it, and they completely changed it. Long story.
Wow. Yeah. Well, friends, we're up against another break. So those on hold, you stay there. We'll take more calls following the break. Tom DeWeese is with us today. His website, AmericanPolicy.org. AmericanPolicy.org. Back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This week, millions of Americans will pay taxes. But think about this. Is it really taxes, or at this point, is it outright theft by the federal government? Why do I say that? Because the government, through a progressive income tax, is punishing those who work hard, who save, who invest, who take risks, while the government turns around and seeks to unfreeze billions of dollars to the Iranian government that has vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. A religious system that declares the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book, the enemy. We see that now our government is allowing and encouraging and flying in illegals from all over the world into the U.S. And now they're going to lift Title 42 for perhaps as many as 18 to 20,000 a day or more to come in, all tax-free, getting free benefits while they steal from us to give to them. That's socialism.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, we'd encourage you, as this program will be posted on our website within just a couple of hours, to send links, get links out to others so that they can hear the information that you have learned today on the broadcast. Or if you need a hard copy of CD, we make them available for donation of $6 to cover the duplication and the material expense and the postage to you. But for $6, we'll send you a copy of the CD. Our way of saying thank you for your support to cover those expenses, and it's available by calling 800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. Tom, just before we go back to the calls, you thought of yet another action step that people can take all across this nation.
Yes, this is something everybody can do. When you go into your grocery, you go back to the meat department and so forth, ask them where this meat came from, and begin to demand you want labeling on your food, not just beef, really, all the food. Where does it come from? And a country of origin labeling. If we can begin to pressure the suppliers, the groceries and so forth for that, hopefully they will go back and
to their distributors.
Their distributors and get it, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, let's get right back to the phone lines. Devin is calling from Spring Valley, Minnesota. Devin, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was just, from the point of view of someone who has wind turbines on our farms, would just urge those who are considering accepting that on their land to really do their research and interview people who have it. 15 years ago, they came through, and, of course, the financial offer was hard to resist, and you go through it, and now learning all that we've been through with it, wish we would have never touched it. Not only do you have the initial damage to the soil structure and the ag land, but you also have continued maintenance. Last year they came through and replaced all the turbines again with longer blades. We also have shadowing in our homes from the blades turning. And another thing you never hear about is the noise pollution. They are just extremely loud if they're anywhere as close to your residence.
Mm.
I also have a good friend who's very high up in management in some of these projects, and he said that they'll never pay for themselves. And I've also read that there is more energy use that goes into constructing them and erecting them than they will ever produce as well. So everything looks good on the outset, but once you get into it and learn more, there's a lot of surprises.
Candy-coated poison, yeah.
Yeah, all that is
exactly
true. I've always asked the question, people, when they look at the turbines, how much electricity does that turbine produce? The answer I usually get is none.
Yeah. Wow. Sardinia, Ohio. Linda, you're on the air.
Yes. I live in Ohio in Brown and Highland County, and all the way up 138 there is miles and miles they're putting in them solar panels. Over on Brown County, right across 32, there's miles of they're putting all these solar panels in all around here.
Beautiful.
And that's what that one farm lady told me. She said she wouldn't let them do it on her farmland, and they really was trying to pressure them. But anyway, she said what they do, they're leasing the ground, they say, paying them so much money. Anyway, she said they'd be better off to put a power plant right up here, because they're not going to get the, well, anyway, she knew all the data on it. Anyway, we're going to have to keep praying for this United States, because and I just can't understand how Biden can still be in there. In our, well, anyway, pray.
Thank you, Linda. Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. What a beautiful sight, Tom, to drive along the nation's highways to see all the solar panels.
Yeah, right. The one thing that if people want to do some things locally, get to your county commissioners and take them this information we're telling you today and try to help them understand this. A lot of times they just don't know. They think, well, this is just the way it is. That's what we're doing. But we could begin to turn some things around if you begin to show them the damage, especially the damage to the farmland, the cement all underneath there. How can that be good for the environment?
Yeah. Montezuma, Iowa. We have Randy calling. You're on the air, Randy.
Yeah, Tom, you got an Iowa farmer here. I agree with that previous caller about the turbines. I've got one that's half a mile away from the farm, and they pay me not to complain about it. I was the only one that didn't put a turbine on my farm, and they pay me not to put up like a skyscraper, anything to block the wind to the turbine.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's called the good neighbor policy. And another thing, bald eagles are no longer an endangered species. And so, but they do have a lawyer out there that takes care of, they're allowed to kill so many, they got a license to allow for so many bald eagles to get killed. I talked to the lawyer.
Yeah, by the wind turbines, yeah.
Yeah, right. But it's interesting, in this area, I've never seen so many bald eagles. The DNR said they've doubled in population, and they love pork outside these big hog confinements.
Wow.
So they fork more pork. So the bald eagles are actually doing fine. Another thing, that pipeline that's carrying the CO2 is within 2 miles of my farm. And the guy, he doesn't really know what to do, but what they do, they pay for damages to go through his farm. Uh-huh. And, of course, they're doing that private eminent domain thing, which really isn't legal.
Yeah, eminent domain.
I talked to another guy this morning. He says there's a possibility. I'm going to look into it. Now, have you ever heard about getting a patent on your farm instead of, relying on eminent domain? You ever heard about that, getting a patent where they can't touch it?
Yes, I have, that land patents. And that is it's difficult to do, but it can be done.
Thank you, Randy, for the call. We're going to just squeeze in Jim from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. You're on the air.
Brother Jim, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Where to start? I guess I would start back at Romans 1, but
yeah, tell you what, we've got
for hours on that.
We've got 30 seconds left here, Jim.
The lack of knowledge and science, the rejection of a creator, and the fact that these people are in an agenda, utopian delusions, driven by greed, power, and control, with a total lack of understanding of science and the net impact of what their agendas are doing to the environment.
I'm going to have a story about this, Jim. I have to stop you there because we have just 20 seconds left. Tom, your response, greed, control, he talked about. Indeed.
Perfectly said. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All those things are absolutely true.
Thank you. And I apologize again here, Jim. We've just run out of time. Tom DeWeese with us today. And folks, check it out at AmericanPolicy.org. Tom, you're hopeful, aren't you? Optimistic through all of this?
Yes, I am. I believe if people are beginning to wake up, understand what's going on, we are a powerful force when we come together, and that's what we got to do.
Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And folks, take the information you have learned today and share it with others. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.